Appreciate this opportunity every time I get to stand. Book of Genesis. Chapter number 6, very familiar chapter in the Word of God. We know a lot of what it says here. And Genesis chapter number 6, when you find it, if you'd let me know by saying amen, I'd ask that you'd pray for me tonight. It's been one of them days. Anybody ever have any of them? It's been one of them days. And so I ask that you'd pray for me. Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5. The Bible says, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in the generations. And Noah walked with God. Let us pray. Father, we love you tonight. God, we just want to take a little bit and thank you for everything that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the good singing. And God, we thank you for what our hearts have felt here already. God, we pray now that you'd visit with us for the next little while. And God, bless the reading of your word. God, we pray you'd bless each and every one of us. God, we pray that you wouldn't let us say anything that you wouldn't have us to, but all things that you would have us to here tonight. God, we love you. God, we thank you for saving us. Lord, we just pray that you would use us tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Here I want to look at some things, and very unusual title here that I want us to look at. And here's what it is. Looking for some things that we ain't never seen. Looking for some things that we ain't never seen. And I know ain't a good word, and my wife, she'll fix that on the way home, all right? But looking for some things that we ain't never seen. As we come to our text and we know the story here. We come to the story of Noah and the ark. And we know how the story goes about how Noah finds that grace in the eyes of the Lord. But we find this familiar story, and if we'll take a step back and look at the story, we'll find that you and I are living in these words that we have read, where man is evil and man is wicked, and the imaginations of man in our day and hour is far beyond what most of us can even comprehend. And Noah is we're seeing here that Noah's living in the same point in time in his life that we're living in ours right now. We're going through the same things that Noah was going through. Dealing with the wickedness of man. And dealing with the tragedies that go on around us every day. Here we find that Noah and his family in the situations that my family and your family face on a daily basis. Where my 11-year-old comes in and makes a statement to his mother, and she said, do you know what this means? And I'll not repeat it here, and I wouldn't even repeat it in the parking lot. And it come from a child younger than him that knew what this statement meant. And Noah's here, and I'm glad, I think we can insert ourselves here. We come down to verse number 8, and it says, but Noah. And I'm glad that there was a day but Philip and but Brother Mike and Brother Jamie and all of us, there was a but we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We can identify with Noah tonight in that we found grace. There are a few things here in these next few verses that I believe we should be looking for in our day and hour to help us with our walk with God and to help us in the days ahead, in the days to come. Number one, I want you to notice this, that we need to be looking for a steadfast person. Somebody that's willing to be steadfast. Somebody that's willing to stand. And let me go on record and say to us men and us daddies, we have an obligation, we have a duty as men to be men. We don't need to be, if you catch a man coming out of the woman's bathroom and your wife's in there and you don't knock his block off, you ain't much of a man, amen? And I ain't for causing confrontation, but that's my wife. And standing for what is right in our day and hour is something that we must do. And we need some men that'll teach younger men how to be men nowadays. Let me go on record and say, mamas and grandmothers and women, it is your obligation to teach young ladies how to be mamas and how to be women and how to be ladies. That's a word that we've forgotten. And we need somebody that'll stand when all else fails. We'll be the one standing. We see that Noah was willing to be different. He was willing. The Bible calls him perfect in his generation. He was upright in his generation. He stayed faithful to God. But notice what he said. He said he walked with God. That's something I believe that we are missing is we want to walk with God when it's convenient for us, but we don't really want to walk with Him when things ain't going our way. We don't really want to walk with Him when it's not in our convenient time of our life. We're not really up for walking with Him then. But when we need Him, we're willing to walk with Him. We need to walk with God like Noah. Then I think about Abraham. Man, Abraham was a man of faith. I got four little boys, and I'll go ahead and tell you, I don't like none of you near enough to put one of my boys on the altar to even think about doing it. But Noah was faithful, and Noah had faith that was beyond the end of his nose. And he had faith in God that God would do what He said He would do. And he told him, he said, hey, y'all wait here, me and the lad will be back in a little while. Hey, man, I'm glad that Abraham is a man that we can model our life after, and we can see this, that Abraham was God's friend. There's a lot of things you can say about me and you can tell people all over the state of Georgia that you're Philip Swafford's friend and they'll laugh at you because they don't know me. But when somebody says something about you that you are God's friend, that means something. And Abraham done some things in standing and being steadfast and being faithful so that people knew that him and God were friends. Then I think about old Job. Man, we want to talk about Job and oh, how the patience of Job and some people even go as far to say, Brother David, they say, I want to be like Job. I don't want to be nothing like Job. Amen. But we can look and get some things from Job and learn how to be steadfast from Job. We can be firm in what we believe in. Not wavering in what we believe in. Knowing what we believe in. And Job was that man. Job hated sin. And Job hated evil. Job hated it. And so many times here's our problem. Can I, and I'll say this, I know our pastor, he'll rebuke me if I get out of line, and that's fine. But we get so close to sin that we almost date it. We get so close to evil that we're not afraid of it anymore. And we wonder why our children and why our families and why our homes are not what they used to be. We're teetering on the edge of falling over in it. And we can do something about it. But Job was steadfast. He wasn't going to put up with it. If it ain't right for the church house, it ought not be right at our house. Let me tell you how I was raised. I coming up and I just be honest with you, I can't dance. I'm too big to dance. If I get to moving in one direction and try to go the other way, something's coming loose. Amen. But when I was younger, I thought I could give it a whirl and I asked my daddy, I said, hey, I want to go to the dance down at the school. And this is what he said. He said, a praying knee and a dancing foot don't go on the same leg. I said, okay, well, I just won't pray then. You know, I was being hard to deal with. But this is where he got me. And if you youngins want to go to a dance, that's fine. This is what he said. This is what got me in 6th, 7th, 8th grade. He said this. He said, is that where you want to be when Jesus comes back? I said, now, Daddy, that ain't even fair. I mean, we ain't even playing on the same field right now. I mean, you think about, well, where do I want to be when Jesus comes? I want to be at church. I mean, that'd be the best place to be. But I really don't want to be in a dark room hugged up on some girl that ain't my wife. That's what Daddy was trying to get across to me. Is that where you, do you want to be in that place when the Lord comes back? But we get so close to it. We say, oh, now, it's just a dance. And it is, it is. That's your prerogative. I ain't telling you how to live your life and raise your family and none of that. But we get so close to it that before we know it, it slipped in on us. Job hated it. That word that he used, I ain't even going to try to pronounce it because I'll mess it all up. But there was a word used there in Job chapter number 1, and it simply means he hated it. He didn't even like being close to it. Job was also perfect and upright in his generation. When people look at us, I'm one of those that I've always been. I really don't care what you think about me, and I don't. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. That'd be all right. As long as mama loves me, that's all I'm worried about. But when people look at us, what do they see in us? Job was perfect and upright. He just simply was an outstanding person. He showed something when people looked at him. Job feared God. When everybody tried to get him to turn against Job, he wasn't budging. He said, I'm going to go with God, even if it airlifts China. Amen. He said, I'm going with God, even if I lose it all, I'm still going to stay with God because God has a record on high. And when God gets done with me, he said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knew that God had a purpose, and that when it was over with, that God was going to get the glory and Job was going to come out better than he was when he started. Job never changed. When we look in chapter number 1, we find where Job is, there's a burnt offering taking place in chapter number 1, chapter number 2. When we get to chapter number 42, we see where Job mentions that dust and ashes again. I believe it come out of the same pile. I believe it come from the same place where Job had worshipped God in the beginning, and he went through this long trial in his life, and at the end, he went back to that place and he worshipped God again. Job never quit on God. We see old David and how David was that small man. And how David, like a lot of us, messed up. Done some things he ought not have done. But he was a man after God's own heart. And God used David because David stayed faithful. It don't matter what we've done or where we've been, God can still use us. It don't matter how old we get or how young we are, God can still use us. We just have to stay faithful. And we have to stay steadfast. We need some mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas that's willing to say, irregardless of what everybody else thinks of me, I'm willing to be a steadfast person. I'm willing to stand for God when it's all gone. I'm willing to stand for God when it's just me and Him. We need, not only do we need to be looking for a steadfast person, but we need some separated people. Separated people. We need to be a peculiar people, as the Bible talks about in 2 Peter. A different people. Something strange. We went and heard Brother Kim preach last night, and Carson is new to, he's been raised in church, and he's heard people raise their hands and testify and shout. But he got to experience some things last night. We're sitting there, we're on the back, and it got loose. I mean, that's just all you can say. His eyes was about that big around, and he looked over me, and he said, "It's the best thing I've ever seen in my life." Most folks would have come in, and they would have said, "This bunch is crazy," and they are. I know about half of them. We all crazy. But we need to be separated. We should be different. Our walk should be different. Notice in verse number 18, it says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." These people that we see here in verse number 18 are different. There was something set, they were set apart from everybody else around them. Irregardless of what our thoughts are, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it walks like a duck, chances are it's a duck. Chances are if we don't live right, we don't walk right, we don't talk right, chances are what people are seeing is not that we're a Christian. It's not that we're saved. They're seeing something and we're displaying something to them that's totally different than who we really are. We should be a separated people. We should be different in our, not just our walk, but in our work. And I know that salvation is not about works. But here's the way I look at it. We should be working not for us, but so that somebody else can get there too. That's our job. It's so that others can go with us. So that we can take somebody else with us. We need a group of people, and God, I believe, is looking for a group of people that's willing to be different and be willing to be set apart and willing to step back and say, "I'm willing to do whatever it takes to see the glory of God and to see the kingdom of God grow, and not only just that, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes to see a massive move of God in my life." How many of us are willing to sacrifice something so that we can see God move? We need to be a separated people. Looking for that. Looking for some separated people. Who's willing to be different? Then we need to be looking for a sacred place. A sacred place. We all must have that place of our own. That we can go and that we can get alone and it just be us and God. And as we look at this scripture here, when we get to chapter number 1 and verse number 7, I want you to notice what it says, and we may even know it by heart. And the Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." And when you go and you begin to look up what that ark is, all our life we've been taught that it's just the boat. It's the big boat that Noah built, and all the animals got on it, and they came in two by two, and that's the story that we're taught and that we're told from a young age. But when you begin to research that, it's not just a boat anymore. This is the definition that I like. Here's what it said. A vessel or a sanctuary. A sanctuary that serves against extinction. And here we are. Tonight, by God's good grace, we've been able to come into our ark. God wants to use this ark. For more than what we can see, for more than what we can think, God wants to do something big. Man, has it not been good around here the last few weeks, months? I mean, it's been amazing at what God's been doing. But this is our sanctuary. This is our sacred place where we as the people come together as a separated people, as a peculiar people. We come together in this place, in this ark, in this sanctuary. And we must treat it right. I'll never forget one of the biggest whoopings I ever got. Some of you know about Rootville Road, and that's where I grew up in my younger days. And we was having baptism one night, preacher, and they had that orange carpet and pews, and it was ugly. I mean, it's just ugly. I don't care. It was ugly. And they had a curtain over the baptistry. Well, that was great because Philip could hide and nobody could find him. And about the time Daddy got done reading his scripture and saying the prayer, he said, "Amen," and I cannonballed off the top step. Kaploosh! I just wanted to go swimming. Daddy didn't think it was funny. He likely killed me. He said, "We don't do that here. We don't do that here. This is our sacred place. This is our place." And I'll go a little bit further and say that we need the church. In our day and hour, we need the church. Not just the building, but we need the church, the people. I don't understand how folks is trying to make it without the church. We need it. This is our place. It's not just a building. It's not just a gathering place, but it's a hospital. It's a hospital for the sick, for the sin sick. It's a pain clinic for those that are hurting. It's a psychological help for those that are hurting mentally. It's a place for them to come and it's a delivery room where newborns are born into the family of God. This is our sanctuary. This is our ark. This is our sacred place. It's not just that, but it's a place of help for the helpless and hope for the hopeless. It's not just a big boat. It's our place. It's ours. It's what God's given us. Y'all accepted me and my family in. There's been times you can ask Casey, she's sitting right there, that I've come through those doors over there and didn't want to get out of the house. And I've come and I've sat back there on them back pews because I got four heathens and we had to hem them up somewhere. And I've not said a lot. I've just sat back there and the Holy Ghost get to moving and I began to weep because I was needing something. I knew that I wasn't going to get it at home. I knew I couldn't go to the doctor and get it. And I've even said this to the preacher. I said, "You know, when your mind's messed up, you can't go get a mind pill, but you can go get a pain pill for your toe." And I've had to sit back there and let God do the work. This is our place where we come when we need that. I still believe Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. As a manner of some is. In the end of it, even more so as you see the day approaching. It's coming. It's coming. This is our place. It's a place of exhorting. These times that the preacher get up here, man, it'll just lift us up. Then it's a place of reproving. Where you got to get reprimanded. I'm glad we got a preacher that'll reprimand us. Somebody say amen. He'll straighten us out. This is what I believe, and y'all may know. I hope I don't find out, Brother Jamie, but I believe that he would tell a preacher that was up here acting stupid to get off the stage. I believe that he would correct us as members when we're wrong. That's what this place is. This is our ark. It's our sanctuary. It's where we come and we get built up. It's where we come and we get popped on the rear end when we need it, because pressure back there changes things up here. rebuking. Just simply saying, God don't approve of it. It may not line up with me, and I may not line up with you, but if it lines up with the book, that's the main thing. We can throw opinion out the window. But this is our place. Our sacred place. When we hear somebody may say something about our place, don't let them say it. Preacher said you can punch him in the nose. No, he didn't. He didn't. But I'm telling you, defend it. This is ours. We must defend it. It's our sacred place. But we must have that personal place to where when we can't make it here, we've got a closet to go to. Because here we can get help. Here we can have others come around us. But in that place over there is where we can pray through. Where we can get in touch with another world over there in that place. We must have this place, but we must have that place. A sacred place. Our sanctuary. That ark. That help to get us through. Then lastly, I want you to notice this. There's a settled promise. He said He'd never leave us and He'd never forsake us. And in chapter number 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and God remembered Noah. They done been through all the rain. They done been through all the storms. And when it was over with, and the winds had blew and dried out the ground, and everything was like it needed to be for Noah and all the animals, God remembered Noah. He said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, He said, if my people... Now, I had a fellow tell me one time that we wasn't His people because that was talking to the Jews. And I stuck my tongue out at him and told him that it was me because I was saved by grace. Amen. But He said, if my people, which are called by my name, that means we're saved, that means we identify with Him. We're His people, that separated people, called by my name. We got to humble ourselves. We got to pray. We got to seek His face. It says then will I hear from heaven. He said you can hear. He said we can hear. He said I'll breathe on them. There'll be something come that's indescribable, that's supernatural. But there's some things that we got to do. There's a promise. And I promise you, I'd make you a promise, and there's times that I make my little boys promises and I can't keep them. There's times that I make Casey promises and I can't keep them. But He's never one time made us a promise that He didn't keep. He said if we'll just do some things, the promise will come. There's a person that we're looking for. We need some leaders. We can't throw it all on our pastor. We can't throw it all on our associate pastor. We can't throw it all on the preachers. Some of us laymen's got to step in and do it. Some of us laywomen's got to step in and do it. It can't be all Miss Renee. It's got to be everybody. There's got to be a person that's willing to be steadfast. When all hell comes against the church, if the only one standing is the pastor and his wife, it's going to kill them. But we all got to stand. If we'll be the people that will come together and say, God, what Your promise is, we're willing to do what it takes to get it and to see the end result. Then in our ark, in our sanctuary, in our place, we'll get to see the promises of God. Looking for some things we ain't never seen. Looking for some things we ain't never seen. Brother Mike, I'm done.